We are going to start the Chazara on Hilchos Bishul. We've been learning the last couple of months, and we'll try to just run through. I know we did most of this in depth, but we're going to just try to run through the Rashi Prakim so that we will be prepared for the Bechina that is coming up the week after Pesach. Let us begin with the general concept of Malacha. We know that the Torah says, Lo Sasa Ka Malacha. We are not allowed to violate any Malacha on Shabbos. And the problem is that the Torah does not tell us what is defined as a Malacha and what perhaps is not. And this is a discussion in the Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah says that we learn from some kind of way that this is composed in the Torah itself, that since it says Malacha 39 times, therefore we assume that Malacha means there are 39 different categories of Malachos that you are not allowed to do on Shabbos. Now, I would not have said necessarily that these are the Malachos that I would have chosen. If I would be left to make the list of 39, I probably would have come up with a very different list than what is said in the Mishnah, but this is the way we know it, and this is what the Mishnah says. Then, as we know, we are taught in the Gemara, also on Daf Ayin Gimel, that these 39 categories come from what we learn from the Malachas HaMishkan, which means the Malacha that was necessary to construct the Mishkan is what we, in turn, are not allowed to do on Shabbos today. And that is what the 39 categories of Malacha come from. So then, we have a discussion that the Gemara says in Maseches Baba Kama, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, that there is something called an Av Malacha, and there is something else called a Tolda. What is the difference between an Av and a Tolda? The Gemara says in Baba Kama, Daf Beis, not very much. An Av and a Tolda are both Aser Midaraisa. An Av Malacha is Aser Daraisa, and a Tolda is Aser Daraisa. What is the difference between an Av and a Tolda? An Av is basically the general category of what exactly was done in the Mishkan itself. A Tolda is something that falls under the subcategory of that general heading, and it's not exactly what was done in the Mishnah, but it's something similar. Give an example. In the Mishnah, they used to plant seeds. That is the Av Malacha of Zoreya. You're not allowed to plant seeds on Shabbos because that is what is done in the Mishkan. Why did they plant seeds in the Mishkan on Shabbos? Because Rashi says they needed them for the herbs. They needed to use them for the dye. And therefore they used to have an activity which was called Zoreya. Okay, so planting seeds today is called an Av Malacha Aser Daraisa. What about if a seed is already planted and I go and I water it? That's a Tolda. Doesn't make it any less of an Iser. It's also Aser Midaraisa. A Tolda is just as Aser as the Av Malacha. But since that's not exactly what was done in the Mishkan itself, therefore, we assume that it falls under the same category, but it is not called an Av. The only nafkamina would be in the times of a Beis HaMikdash. How many karbanos would you have to bring if you did an Av and a Tolda? But for basically all intents and purposes, we assume that an Av and a Tolda are both Asur Midaraisa, and they are both not allowed to be done. It is important when we talk about the 39 Avos Melachos that we clearly define exactly what the Geder HaMelacha is. How do you define, how do you classify when one would be in violation of a malacha? There are times when the malacha is done, and immediately upon doing it, you have violated that malacha right away. For example, hotzah. I take something and I go from one place, one rishus, to another rishus. The moment that that happens, the malacha is over. It happened, I violated, I have to bring a carbon chata so there's a Beis HaMikdash, or today I have to do some kind of tshuva. There are other malachas which really are not so clear at all. For example, I walk into a room, I turn on the lights. That's a malacha. Everybody knows. Mavir, that happens right away when I turn the lights on. When it comes to other malachas, it's very unclear. And this is a discussion that the Minchas Chinuch has. How would you define, for example, the malacha of Zoreya? Is it the moment that I plant something in the ground, I'm in violation of the malacha of Zoreya? The moment that I put it into the ground, I've already violated, even though nothing yet happened. It takes time until it's going to decay, it's going to decompose, and then it will grow and become a plant or become a fruit. So how can you say that I violated the malacha of Zoreya when nothing actually happened from that malacha? And take, for example, if I plant something in the ground and then I would pull it out right after Shabbos, and nothing yet has transpired, would I be in violation or would I have successfully undone that which I did on Shabbos? That is a big discussion. Take, for example, the malacha of Bishul. What is the malacha of Bishul? The malacha of Bishul is that I'm not allowed to cook. So does that mean the moment I take a pot and put it on the fire with some food in it, I've already violated the malacha of Bishul even though nothing happened yet? Nothing got hot? Obviously not. the Malacha of Bishul has a criterion that must be met, and that is that it has to cook up to a certain point. Something has to happen. Either if it's a liquid, it has to be yatso lettuce, it has to heat up enough that it's already considered hot, or if it's a food item, also we're going to discuss that later, has to be kamaycho ben drusai, something has to happen. But just to put something on the fire itself would not be a violation of the Malacha of Bishul. And it's important when you think about each of the Avos Malachos, you have to look at each one in particular, not necessarily is the rule going to be the same by all of them, and you have to judge, when would the Malacha actually be violated? Is it at the moment that I do the activity, or do you say that some of them have more of a lingering process, and I won't be in violation until a little bit later? One of the most important characteristics of the Malacha, whenever we talk about any Malacha, not just Bishul, but any Malacha from the 39 Avos Malachos, is what we refer to as a Malachas Machshebes. We have to make sure that when we do a Malacha, in order for it to be considered a violation of Shabbos, it has to be done Ayidei Malachas Machshebes. What does that mean? It means that in the Mishkan, everything that was done was a deliberate act. Everything was done with intent. Everything was done purposefully. And therefore, that is the only way that we can violate a malacha today, is if we do it with specific intent, purposefully, and we want to do whatever it is that is being done. If you don't have that, it is not called a malacha. Which means three practical applications. Number one, if you do a malacha in an abnormal fashion, you do it al yidei shinui, as the Shulchan Aruch calls it, that would not be considered a malachas machshavas. Because in the Mishkan, when they were trying to construct this beautiful edifice, they would never have done anything in an upside-down fashion. They would never have used the back of their finger or the back of their toe or the back of their arm to do a malacha. That's not the way it was done, because you wanted the Mishkan to be built exactly the way it should have been built. And if you're going to start using other parts of your body to construct it, that would not be an efficient way to do so. So practical application number one is, if you do something in an abnormal fashion that already knocks it down to no longer be considered a malacha d'araisa because it lacks malachas machshevas. Number two, if you perform a malacha and you have intent to do that malacha, that is called a malachas machshevas. But if I do something and I have no intention at all, for example, I walk into a room, I've never been in this room before, and I had no idea that the lights were going to go on. How should I know? My intent was just to open the door. My intent was not at all that by opening the door the light is going to go on or the air conditioner was going to be activated or anything of that nature. That is not called a malachas machshevas because I had no intent for the malacha that was done. And number three, do I have a desire for the outcome of the malacha? So let's just give an example. The malacha of kosev. So in the Mishkan, they had to write on all the krushim. Why? Because it says in the pasuk, Vakimosa es ha-mishkan kimishpato. It says that the Mishkan had to be put up each time exactly the way it was put up the first time, which means that the beam that was on the left side had to stay on the left side, and if it was next to beam number A, it had to be next to it the next time again. So how do you do that? So it says that they had to go with a pen, with a marker, and they had to write on each one of the krushim, on each one of the beams, this is one, this is two, this is three, this is four, and that's the way they made sure that the next time everything would be constructed in the exact same way that it was the first time. That is the malacha of kosev, when one does writing. However, what if a person writes with the other hand? So in the Mishkan, they never would have done that. Why? Because it wouldn't have come out neatly. You wanted to say one clearly to know that next time you should have number one taken and next time number two. So if you write with a shinui, that would be considered no longer a malacha of ksiva midaraisa. Take for another example. In the Mishkan, sometimes they had to violate the malacha of korea. They had to rip things apart. Why did they rip them apart? Because they took a little bit of blue and a little bit of pink and a little bit of purple, all the different colors, all the different fabrics, and then they would sew them all together to make the beautiful tapestry that made up the curtains for the Mishkan. So there, that's another example. We have a malacha today called Korea, based off of, patterned off of what was done in the Mishkan when they had to rip different fabrics in order to have the curtains made in the Mishkan. However, that's only considered a malacha when it's Korea Almanas Litvar. When the whole purpose that I'm tearing is because I want to bring about the result of having the ability to now sew them together. But what if, for example, I am Korea just because I'm in the mood to rip something apart because I want to destroy it? That is called Mekalkel. That is not called a Malacha because that is not with the same intent as was in the days of the Mishkan. Another example would be what they refer to as Grama. If you do something ayidei grama, which is also an abnormal fashion in which to do it, that also would not be considered a Melechas Machshevas. Now we get to a discussion the Gemara has between Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon. I'm sorry if I'm going too quickly. Is this too fast? Too quickly? It's okay? I think it's good. It's just a review for everybody. So then we got to a discussion that the Gemara has in a number of Masechtas, Masechas Shabbos, Masechas Erevin, Masechas Beitza. It's all over the place where the Gemara has this discussion between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. What about a davar she'eino mischavin? What if I do something where the outcome is the same as the malacha itself, but this was not at all my intent? So for example, there's a malacha on Shabbos of kotzer. You're not allowed to cut something off from the ground. Sometimes when I'm walking to shul, maybe my foot is going to get to my shoe, has cleats. You know, sometimes the shoes have something on the bottom of them. What are they called? Not cleats. Cleats are a problem. What? Taps, let's say. And sometimes somebody who has something on the bottom of their shoe will get caught in the grass, and the next time you take a step, it is going to rip some of the grass out. Now, again, obviously that is not what I have in mind. Obviously that's not something that I have any intention to do. That is what we call a davar she'eino mischavin. What is the halacha? Davar she'eino mischavin is allowed or not allowed? Bottom line. Huh? Not machlokas. Bottom line. Here we want to know bottom line. What? No. Davar she'eino mischavin, Shulchan Aruch says, mutter. Davar she'eino mischavin, we paskin like Rab Shimon. Rab Shimon says, if you do a davar she'eino mischavin, is mutter. For example, you're not allowed to kill an animal on Shabbos. You're not allowed to trap an animal on Shabbos. What happens if, while I'm walking to shul, I might inadvertently step on an ant, step on a cockroach, step on a bug, not because I want to kill the bug, but because there are ants sometimes on the sidewalk. I'm not looking so carefully, but that's called a davar she'eino mischavin. I have no intent at all. That is not what I'm trying to do. All I'm trying to do is walk from my house to shul. And because I have no intention at all, we paskin like Rab Shimon, that a davar she'eino mischavin is mutter on Shabbos, period. That's the halacha. Davar she'eino mischavin is mutter on Shabbos, except for a case where it is a psik resha. Says the Gemara, moder Rab Shimon bipsik resha. What is a psik resha? So psik resha means exactly what it sounds like, which means you cut off the head of a chicken. What is cutting off the head of a chicken? So that is a reference to a game that existed in the times of the Gemara. Children didn't have many toys in the times of the Gemara, and one of the games that they often used to play was they would play with the head of a chicken. Strange kind of game. After the chicken was dead, they would throw around the head. That would be the ball. The problem is, we didn't prepare before Shabbos. And now we're not allowed to kill a chicken on Shabbos because that would be a violation of all kinds of melachos. So what do? Kids have a long Shabbos afternoon in the summertime. We have no games for them to play with. We didn't set aside any chickens before Shabbos that they can play with the heads. So what do? Says the Gemara, I have a great idea. Why not cut off the head of a chicken on Shabbos and use it? What do you mean? You're not allowed to do that. That's a melacha. No, it's not a malacha. Why? I have no intent to kill the chicken. All I want is the head. Come on, that's ridiculous, says the Gemara. That's a psik resha. I understand you don't want the chicken to die, but there's absolutely no way to get the head of a chicken as a ball, as a toy, unless you actually kill it. And therefore, says the Gemara, moder Rab Shimon bipsik resha. Rab Shimon agrees that if you're going to do something, even if it's not your desired outcome, but if you're going to do something and you know definitely that this is going to be the consequence, you have no right to do that. That is considered to be an iser on Shabbos. That reverts back to being a malacha, right? It's basically as if I've done the malacha. The whole reason why a davar she'eino mischavin is mutter is because that's not a malachas machshevas, because I don't have intent to do what's actually happening. But in this case, where what's happening? Where I know that this is going to happen every time. Or for example, I wear the kind of shoes that I know every time I wear these shoes and I walk on the grass, I know that every time for sure the grass is going to be pulled out. How do I know? Because when I get home from shul, I see in the bottom of my shoes grass every Shabbos. So if that's the case, that's a psik resha, which means it's as if I did have kavana to do that malacha, and we assume that reverts back to be an iser d'oraisa. So far, so good. We have the halacha of Rab Shimon that a davar she'eino mischavin is mutter. Then we have the halacha that Rab Shimon agrees if it's a psik resha, which means there's no way around it, this is the only way to have this happen, that would be considered to be back to an iser d'oraisa. What about when it's a psik resha delo nichale? What about when it's something that I don't want? For example, I have this pair of shoes and it's going to rip out the grass every time, but I don't want to rip out the grass from my own backyard. That's a psik resha delo nichale. Why? Because I want that the grass in my backyard should stay there. So does that change this at all? Would it change whether or not it's something that's nichale or lo nichale? If I'm unhappy with the consequence of the malacha that's being done, does that take away from its definition of being called a malacha. Most of the Rishonim assume that in a psikresha de lo nichale, we still say it's aser midirabbana. So it's a notch down from what it would normally be as reverted back to an issa d'araisa. We would still say that it's aser, but it's only an issa d'rabbana. It can't be issa d'araisa. Why? Because it's not malachas machsheves. Malachas machsheves means I want this to happen and I'm happy with the outcome. So it can't be a malacha d'araisa, but we would say that it would still be considered a malacha midirabbana, which gets into the big discussion. If that's the case, how do I ever open the refrigerator door in my house? So again, the new refrigerators today are 10 times worse than the old refrigerators. Why? Because the new refrigerators in our generation have all kinds of sensors, and they have all kinds of technology that light up right away, and even if you tape over the lights and you figure out how to bypass that part of the system, you're still going to have the igniter. We had the whole tutorial at the time where we looked into all the different refrigerators, but either way, this is a very serious potential issue that one needs to think about if they get a new model of a refrigerator today. But let's say, for argument's sake, the old refrigerator. The old refrigerator wasn't so fancy, didn't have all these gadgets on it, and when I open the refrigerator door, I have a right to assume that no electronics are going to be activated except for the motor. Why? Because a lot of warm air just came in from the room, and the refrigerator is supposed to keep a certain temperature, and therefore we assume once the warm air comes in, that is going to throw off the whole system, and the motor is going to go on immediately. So what is the heter to use a refrigerator on Shabbos? Rabbi Avadi Yosef, as we said, his son writes about the description when his parents got a refrigerator, and it was a big spectacle, and all the neighbors came upstairs to see this beautiful new appliance. They never heard of it before. Refrigerator sounds amazing. And then there was a big discussion, are you allowed to use a refrigerator or not? The basic heter that we have for using a refrigerator, again, the old refrigerators, the new ones you have to look into, the basic heter is what Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes, and that is that we assume that, yes, it is a psikresha, that almost every time, basically every time I open the fridge, it's going to activate the motor going on. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, on top of that, it's really only a grumma, because it doesn't happen immediately. Usually you open the refrigerator, you take some things out, you put some things in, and the motor doesn't go on, it doesn't activate right away when I open the refrigerator. It takes a few seconds. Sometimes I close the refrigerator right away, and until the refrigerator realizes that there's so much hot air that just came in, sometimes it takes a couple of minutes, and then the motor goes on. And therefore, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, opening a refrigerator would be mutter. Why should it be mutter? Sipsik resha de nichale. I'm happy that the motor goes on. I'm happy that the food is going to be cold again. Yes, that is true, but although it's a psikresha, it is considered to be something that is only ayide grama, because it is a little bit delayed from the time that I actually did the activity, and therefore we assume that that would save me from doing a malacha, what we would classify as a malacha on Shabbos, and therefore Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said it's mutter lechatchila to open the refrigerator on Shabbos. Okay, now we go a little bit further, and we talk about a malacha she'ein tzricha legufa. What exactly is a malacha she'ein tzricha legufa? That is a $1 million question. The Gemara Maseches Shabbos, Daf Tzadi Dalet, talks about somebody who does a malacha, and I have intent to do the malacha, but not for the intended outcome of the malacha. So for example, there's a malacha of hotza'a. What is the reason for the malacha of hotza'a? Because I want to get this item from place A to place B. So the Torah says there's a malacha, just as there was in the Mishkan. I wanted to get the krushim from place A to place B, I had to bring the whole Mishkan from one location to another. So because I wanted to get an item from one place to another, therefore we assume that would be considered a malacha in our generation today, when you want to get something from place A to place B. What if the Gemara says you have a woman who wants to wear a pad on Shabbos? And we're talking about a community where there's no Erev. So it's not that she wants to wear the hygienic pad because she wants to get it from place A to place B. She'd be happier if she didn't have to use anything. She's really only doing it because she wants to remain clean, not because she wants to carry the pad from one place to another. So is that called a malacha? I'm doing the same action as was done in the days of the Mishkan. I'm resulting in the same thing. There's an item that's getting from place A to place B, but I really have no interest in that. That's what we refer to as a malacha she'ein tzricha legufa. Or, for example, the malacha of tolesh means you're not allowed to detach something from the ground. When did they do that in the days of the Mishkan? Well, when somebody wanted an apple, so you go to the ground, you pick it off the tree, that's called a malacha of tolesh. That's called a malacha of kotzer. What about when I extract somebody's tooth for all the dentists in the room? So, over there, it's not the same. Again, the same malacha is happening, and the same activity is being done, and the same result is coming about from all that I'm doing. that should be synonymous to the Malacha of Tolesh. Only difference is that the desired outcome is not really the same as the apple that I want from the tree. After I extract the tooth, I don't want to use it for anything. The same way I would want to use an apple after I extract it from the ground, it's not the same at all. And therefore we refer to that as a malacha she'ein tzricha legufa. That is the discussion that the Gemara has. What is the halacha for a malacha she'ein tzricha legufa? The Gemara says that that is considered to be an iser dirabanan. Why is it an iser dirabanan? Because in the end of the day, you can't call it a malacha d'araisa. It's lacking such a critical component to a malacha d'araisa. You're not doing the same desired outcome as the malacha d'araisa, so it knocks down a level, but it can't be mutter, because if that's going to be mutter, then you'll say things are going to get out of control. A person can do whatever they want on Shabbos, and it seems to be very similar to the malacha itself. And therefore we assume a malacha she'in tzricha l'gufa. Once again, the definition of that term is when I do the same activity as was done in the days of the Mishkan, and it brings about the same outcome as what happened in the days of the Mishkan. The only difference is that my desire is very different from that of what which was done in the Mishkan. That is called a malacha she'in tzricha l'gufa, and that is an iser midirabanan. The final thing that we'll discuss tonight is the category of misasek. What does misasek mean? There's a big machlokas in the Achronim, Rabbi Kiva Eger, and the Nesivos. What is the status of a misasek? And the Nesivos talks about this with regard to somebody who violates a iser on Shabbos b'misasek. Misasek means I had no idea at all that this was going to happen. For example, I walk into my house. I thought I always had an old refrigerator, though there was never even a light that was attached to it. All of a sudden, I open the door and I see that the mechanic came in on Friday and he set up a whole system in my refrigerator. And now, when you open the door, the light goes on. What's going on? I was happy with the old system. So that's a total misasek. I had no idea that by opening the door that was going to happen. I walk into a room. I had no idea that by walking in the lights were going to go on, the air conditioner was going to be activated, all kinds of things like that. That's called a misasek. That's not a shogig. Shogig means a person does a malacha. I just didn't remember that it was Shabbos. I know what I'm doing. I just wasn't aware that it was Shabbos, or I wasn't aware that this is usher on Shabbos. That's called shogig. Means I know exactly what I'm doing. I just wasn't aware that it was a problem. Misasek means I have no idea that this is about to happen. That's called a misasek. And there's a big machlokas, is misasek called a maisa avera or not? You'll ask, what's the nafkamina? What? Nafkamina is, do you have to bring a karban? Do you have to do tshuva? So you don't have to bring a karban, because the only time you have to bring a karban, the Mishnah says, is kol shas dono kares shigagaso chatas. You only have to bring a karban chatas when you do something that had I violated it b'mezid, I would have been chayv kares. So now that I do it b'shogeg, I have to bring a karban chatas. If I do it b'mesasek, I certainly don't have to bring a karban. The shaila that the achronim have is, do I have to even do tshuva for it? Or do you say, it's so out of my league, it has nothing to do with me at all. It doesn't relate back to me, and therefore I don't have to be concerned about it. Leave it alone, it's none of my business. What happened, happened, and move on with life. That's the discussion about a misasek. Where does it make a difference? Practically. So say, for example, I know that I forgot to turn off the light in my refrigerator on Shabbos, so I'm not allowed to open it. Can I call over my neighbor who doesn't know that I left the refrigerator light on? Can I call him over and say, you know, I'm very thirsty, can you go get a drink from the refrigerator? And after he opens it up to get the drink, I say, oh, now that it's open, you know, let's get some other things out. Is that a problem or not? Well, that depends on this discussion. Is misasek called a maisa avera or not? But the basic discussion really comes down to the reason why misasek is not called a regular malacha gets back to the same foundational principle that we started with, and that is, in order to be called a malacha on Shabbos, it has to be a malachas machshavas. It has to be that there are certain criteria that are met in order for it to be considered a malacha d'araisa. And those criteria are, number one, it has to be done in the normal fashion in which it would otherwise be done. If you do a malacha al yidei shinui, it is automatically knocked down from a malacha d'araisa to be only an isur d'rabanan. Number two, malachas machshavas means I have to have intent to perform the activity that is being done. That is component number two. And number three, I have to have intent for the desired outcome that normally comes about from what it is that I'm doing. That is the general principle. As we said, all of the other discussion that we had all fall under those categories. So therefore, shinui is called an isur d'rabanan, davar she'eino mischaven is considered to be mutter. Why? Because that's not called a malacha at all. If it's a psik resha, if you know that that's certainly going to be the outcome every time you do this, this is what happens, that is called a malacha d'araisa. A psik resha to lo nichale, what's the halacha there? Sikresha lo nichale, most of the Rishonim say, is only in Isser Dirabanan. There's a famous Shita of the Aruch, which I don't want to confuse anybody, but the Aruch is of the opinion that a Psikresha lo nichale on Shabbos is mutter. So the Shulchan Aruch does quote that opinion. We don't accept it, but that is an opinion that's worth thinking about. And B'shas Adchak, when you have a very serious circumstances, sometimes we would rely on that position of the Aruch, but generally that is not what we rely upon. So that is with regard to Melechus Machsheves in general, and how it plays into each of the 39 Melechus. And as we said, when you talk about the 39 Melechus, not necessarily do all the Melechus follow the same classification. Not always do we assume that every Melech is violated at the same time. For example, as we said, if you do the Melech of Havara, I turn the lights on, I violate that immediately at the time that the action is done. If I put a pot onto a stove, and I turn on, and not I turn on the fire, because then I violate the Melech right away, but for the Melech of Bishul, if I put a pot onto a ready lit stove, so would I violate Bishul right away? No, I would violate Bishul once the process gets moved along to the point that the food is able to already be hot up to a certain threshold. But before that, I would be able to save myself by taking the pot off of the fire, and then I would not have violated the Melech of Bishul. Once again, you have to look at each of the 39 Avos Melechos. Not all of them are the same, and many of them follow a different set of guidelines, and you have to figure out what is the exact gather of the Melech for each one in particular, and how do we need to deal with it? Is there a way to undo a Melech once it's done? Or do we assume by most Melechos, once you've done the activity, it's too late to undo that which you have started? So